Welcome to episode 60 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. As I sit recording the introduction to this week's show, I see that many parts of the UK have been hit by snow overnight. Not in my area, it has to be said, but temperatures have certainly stayed low, and what I do have outside is a flat, overcast and, quite frankly, very bland sky. Not perfect for photography, many would say, but these conditions can actually be very creative and beneficial to the photographer, because the lighting they produce is very even and very low contrast. This week's show once again features another lively conversation with photographer and writer Hugh Graham, who many of you will know was one of my lecturers when I studied photography at university. And would you believe it? Our subject this time around is light, in all its forms, its applications, and what it means to us photographers and how we're going to work with it. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 60. Once again, I am sat opposite Hugh Graham, my one-time lecturer and one-time colleague, and today we are going to be talking about light, because as we all know, that is at the core of photography. Without light, we are nothing. We are slaves to the light. How's that for an intro? A look of amusement. the particular angle that we want to talk about take today is the question of whether you work with ambient light, i.e. sunlight or lights in a room or reflected light off buildings or what have you, or whether you turn automatically to flash guns, portable studio lights, or of course whether you combine the two. Now, I know that for myself, I don't particularly like working with on-camera flash a lot. Sometimes it is the most practical way to work, certainly with social photography. But even then, I have the flash on a bracket to one side or held in one hand. When I used to shoot with Hugh regularly, we used to shoot a lot with camera-mounted flash and fill-in flash. And we did that for a long time. But I think you came to the point that I did that it almost got boring, and so we started to look back at working more with natural light, and that actually improved our work and our portfolios.
I agree. If you're talking about the sort of photography I did or am still doing to a lesser extent, is I like to work with available light. Mm. And I think that the way you position the subject, the way you put the subject into or facing the light source, is where you get proper shadows, proper detail, sharpness, enhancements, halo effects, anything you like. But flash, you test, yes, of course you do flash, because sometimes you can't get a picture without flash. Mm. I can't imagine anything more boring than spending all day in a studio where you completely control the light source. It would drive me absolutely crackers.
And yet some people thrive on that, yep. Of course.
And if you actually work in a 12 by 12 room or a room of any size, by the time you've been in that room for 6 months, you will know every single possible variation you can achieve with any lighting setup you've got. Mm. And at that point, it seems to me that the joy of photography disappears because the challenge is gone.
And I suppose a studio photographer would say that the challenge then, you take out the guesswork because you know about your various lighting setups and you might change it and vary it for effect to try things with a particular shoot. But they would say maybe that by taking the guesswork out of the lighting, it leaves you free to interact with your subject and to get the most out of your subject. I personally like working on location where it is the variables are what is available to you. And it could be that I've got my little speedlight flash guns, which are very nice little wireless units. It might be a studio flash which has a portable battery pack. But to me, it does seem so... I don't dislike studio work, but it just seems so interesting to see how you can sculpt your subjects, working with mixing the available light with a light source that you bring in to the shot.
Yeah, okay. And also, I would say that, I mean, you actually implied that the photographer working under studio lights is able to concentrate on the subject. To which I would actually say, bollocks.
For people that are listening for the first time, Hugh doesn't mince around with his words.
I think people who work like that are control freaks. Mm. I think they actually need... They are not opportunists. They can't seize the moment. They can't do... They need to control every part of the aspect of photography.
Mm.
And unless they actually know exactly what they're doing... There's no spirit of adventure. There's no spontaneity.
Mm.
So yeah, fine if they want to do that.
I suppose
they could all be draftsmen.
I suppose if you were photographing a line of products, and you know,
you got me wrong. I wouldn't be doing that.
No, okay. Let me rephrase that. Say one was to be photographing. No,
one would. This one this wouldn't one be wouldn't. Doing it.
Some person, what is not you? If that said person was to be photographing a product line regularly over the course of months through the year, what have you, and they wanted a certain look for their products to keep them looking nice and clean and smart and what have you, to have the lighting set up in a set way that was dependable, maybe that's a better word, I can see that has its place. And let's face it, a lot of people that are shooting for web, that they are just maybe having pictures appearing on a shop, for example. You just want to show the objects nice and clean, and there doesn't necessarily have to be the same creativity, shall we say, that for location portraits, it's a different scenario, different kettle of fish, perhaps. But I remember fill-in flash is one of those techniques which, just as soon as a photographer can learn it, it will unlock a lot of potential in.
Well, you use fill-in flash if you're photographing in bright sunlight. You have to use fill-in flash, because otherwise you're going to have shadows under the eyes, the nose, and under the chin, and it's going to make everybody look dreadful. Mm. I can remember a friend of mine who shot naked ladies for national newspapers.
Mm.
And I thought, this must be absolutely wonderful.
And you were how old at this time?
I was...
Was this at the start of your career?
In my early 20s.
Okay.
And I thought, this must be absolutely wonderful. And I went along to assist him.
Hmm.
Actually, not to assist him, but to look at some of the naked ladies. But I was as disappointed as he told me I would be.
Hmm.
They are extraordinarily... The girls were all right. The photography was so boring and so predictable.
Mm.
He was shooting about four girls on that particular afternoon. By the end of the afternoon, I was really pleased to be out of it.
Mm.
And I can't imagine anything more boring than shooting naked women.
And I seem to recall you telling me or recounting this in some years past that there was probably a frequent occasion, but certainly an occasion where, having thought this was going to be a rather exciting, perhaps lucrative, shall we say, opportunity, you would be stood there with the girls' mothers behind you, looking over your shoulder, that if there was any spark of sexual energy in the room,
it would disappear.
Would kill it straight away.
Absolutely.
And essentially, that then becomes that sort of tin of beans on a still life table scenario, in that...
I think the more interesting thing about that was that the girls were in their late teens, middle to late teens, I find it difficult to get my head round the idea that a mother would be proud of her daughter appearing half naked in a national newspaper. I find that whole concept bizarre. But the mums were only 35. And I said, this and they were extraordinary as well. And that's all I can say about that.
And this, obviously, that wasn't your main body of work, shall we say.
That's a nice little pun.
Thank you very much. Make a note of that. that wasn't the core of your work. For you as a photographer, having been working as a photojournalist, working very kind of with a lot of immediacy, and obviously I know there's a lot of running around and certain pressures, how... And just taking it back to the lighting situation, going from that real world location photography to being housed up in a studio with these lights constantly just set up. At the time, as an enthusiastic youngster, as it were, I mean, how did that impact on you and how you viewed it as a photographer? Did you at the time think, okay, there were the girls there, but in terms of the lighting, the technical side, did you just think this doesn't do it for me? Or
I felt it wasn't challenging. It was extremely boring. There was no aspect to photography. There was no movement. There was no life. You were getting a rather pleasant-looking girl with an extremely good-looking body, with nice hair, and you would put a light behind her and one off at 45 degrees. And that was it. And basically you were more concerned with the shape of the breast and the position of the nipple than you were anything else. And by the time you've done that four or five times, it's you've lost most enthusiasm for it.
These days, of course, and I am I'm fully behind the whole wireless technology. I think it's a marvellous thing. Back in the day, shall we say, and it wasn't that long ago, really, relatively speaking, we were tripping over wires. If you wanted to have remote lights, you had cables dragging across behind people, under chairs and all the rest of it. As far as I'm aware, in the work that you sort of undertake now and in the last, say, 10 years, that's not an area which you have gone into a great deal in terms of working with things like Pocket Wizards, which I use frequently. Is there a reason you just haven't had the need to in your work to use them, or do you still use?
I have used two or three flashes where they trigger each other.
Yes, so like a slave cell. Yeah,
fine. I think it's boring. It's cumbersome. It's time consuming.
Okay.
I think one of the great joys of the modern digital camera is you're getting detail in the highlights and shadows which you were not getting in film. Providing you have taken the trouble to calibrate your camera properly and you know exactly what the sensor will do, then 9 times out of 10 you don't need flash or any form of, because the image that you're seeing with your eyes, the thing that attracts you in the first place, is not enhanced by additional illumination.
Do you think people use flash just because they can, and therefore use these wireless gizmos just because they can?
I think people tend to use flash because they see all the other photographers using flash. If you talk to any photographers, they can't be separated from the flash gun. And that's because all the wedding photographers use flash guns. Well, all wedding photographers don't.
When you're saying that it sort of being cumbersome, is that because you're referring to having to set up stands and put
it's flash guns on? And if you want to get on with taking the pictures, then I think that's what you should do. I think anything actually that gets in the way of the image and the moment is a distraction. If you're working with one, okay, so you've got a little flash which is attached to the camera, but it's running off on an umbilical cord, isn't it? It's not mounted on top of the prism.
No.
Otherwise, you're going to get all sorts of strange effects. Yeah. But so you've got a modelling factor, and you're boosting the light to get rid of some of the shadow. Yeah, fine. Mm. I don't have any problem with that. But one of the things that you enjoy with your Nikon, is it?
Yes, it is.
It's because it picks up so much detail.
Yeah. Yeah,
in the shadows and the highlight. Mm. Well, so how often do you use flash?
It depends what I'm shooting, but I do use it frequently. It depends what I'm using for. Sometimes there is a certain work. For example, if I'm shooting some sort of extreme sports, for example, or something like a mountain bike or something, you know as well as I do, you can play around with flash for freezing movement.
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain visual look to photography which appears regularly in magazines, what have you. There's a certain visual look to a technique which you wouldn't get if you didn't use flash.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is a valid occasion when you would employ the flash. But as we've said many times, even a few years ago, the thought that I would be able to shoot at ISO 6400 or higher and get usable pictures that actually don't have any digital noise or grain in the pictures, that is fantastic. When I shoot corporate work, I might have some constant lights bounced off the ceiling, but essentially, just to give overall lighting, same as if you were to open the blinds up, what have you, working without the need to play around with flashlights and stands and what have you. Yeah, there is a, using my camera, the D3, that those settings, doesn't always have to be that high, is very liberating.
Yeah.
And it does leave you just to think about the shapes of what you're photographing, the subjects or the subject matter. It might be a factory, a warehouse, it might be a corporate boardroom, you know. But again, I don't think that you need to add lights and add them if actually it doesn't do anything. It doesn't add anything to the message that you're trying to get across.
No, I agree. And furthermore, have you played with LED torches?
I have actually, and in fact, I was talking to someone at a trade show recently, and I showed them a picture of a tent that I had photographed, and the lighting was really nice, quite subtle, and that was lit purely with a long exposure with the camera on a tripod and a head torch.
Yep.
And it was about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And just using the headlight to, as we say, paint with light.
Yep.
around the subject. And it's brilliant. One of the kind of photography that I also like, regular listeners will know a friend of mine, Tom Kent, who is a session musician. I photographed him a fair bit when he's been playing live. And taking the exposure reading off the side of a musician's face, off either a highlight or a almost highlight, but not quite mid-tone, and exposing your shots for that, it gives the same effect, essentially, as if you were to fire a big old flashlight at them from 45 degrees or 70 degrees, because you're exposing for the highlight, anything darker than that starts to drop off into the shadow, and it's very effective.
Yep.
No flash guns involved, just working with, this is what we're talking about, essentially, working with the available light.
But of course, using that form of light is rather like using the old-fashioned studio lights.
Mm.
They're not flash. You can actually see the effect.
Mm.
And so you can actually adjust it by either moving the light or moving it further or closer to or further away from the subject. And you can create that. Whereas flash, to all intents and purposes, unless you're using it day in and day out and you know exactly what's going to happen, the result is unpredictable. You can actually see it in the camera, of course. Mm. Then you've got to work it out. And I think that playing with torches or LED torches is an inexpensive way.
Absolutely, yeah.
Of carrying lights.
And I know that with Nikon, I'm not sure about you. Obviously, shoot with Canon. I don't know whether it's the same with Nikon. You have a button on the side of their flash guns, which is like a repeating strobe.
Yeah.
with studio flashlights, often you have two light bulbs. One is a typical light bulb in the middle,
yeah.
and the other is the flash bulb around the outside. The central lamp is a modelling lamp, as you say. It allows you to see where highlights are, reflections, yeah. Where shadows drop, and then you build up your lighting accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty with working with torches, LEDs, sparklers, even thinking of sort of bonfire night, that sort of thing, is you have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a time lag on your retina. You yeah. still see things moving sort of in your eye after the light has gone. But it's a wonderful way to work. And I think a lot of people should try it more. And certainly if you're into your nighttime photography, people will know that I do enjoy my nighttime photography. It's a great way to inject a bit more light and interest into your pictures.
Sure.
You know.
I wouldn't argue with that. I suppose to sum up the sort of photography I enjoy and did enjoy doing, I was always photographing interesting people doing interesting things in an interesting way.
Mm.
And that didn't lend itself to flash.
No.
You needed to be up close and personal. You were using very sharp lenses capable of a very large aperture.
Mm.
You were working really close.
Mm.
And I suppose all everything is subjective. I like the colour which I get from my Canon lenses more than any other lenses I've seen. Mm. It's a personal preference.
Mm.
And that, of course, is totally subjective. Mm.
And I think that's a good point, actually. When I last came to update my, not the Active Photographer, but my Giles Babbage Photography website, the pictures, it's funny, people often refer to people having their own style of pictures. And I wasn't sure necessarily what my style was. It's not that I use contrasty lighting all the time. It's not that I have lots of shallow focus in every shot like some people do. But what it was, I came to realise, is that the colours, the tonal range within my pictures, the way that I shoot, is very natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's very pleasing, I think, pleasing to the eye. Contrast, if it is in there, is natural, but it looks natural rather than it being a case of whacking the contrast up in Photoshop. And as I say, that's just the way I work, and it comes from a traditional angle where when I was shooting film, I had to be sure of getting the results. And because of that, I didn't have digital imaging to fall back on if I didn't get the results. And that, I think, has influenced my shooting style now.
Some of the best pictures I've shot on my Canons, the pictures I shot, I spent 5 days in Venice,
mm.
and I shot every picture by available light.
Yeah.
And they're some of the best pictures I've ever done.
Yeah.
And I've got some pictures of some of the gondoliers
mm.
just in front of the Rialto Bridge.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely beautiful.
Mm.
And they're almost like a painting.
And you probably enjoyed that so much because you were freeing yourself up from technology,
yep.
short of what you had in your hand, the camera and the lens you had, yep. and just looking, taking in what was in front of you.
Sorry, that's exactly what I was doing.
And on that note, I think we'll round this up because, yeah, light is everywhere, and you just have to essentially know how to handle it and use it for you, how you like it.
True.
And so on that note, Hugh, thank you very much once again for your time.
My pleasure.
And I look forward to our next conversation. As ever, don't be shy. Let me know your thoughts about this topic. What do you favour? Why? And what lighting have you never tried but would like to? You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.